The children can head for Children's Church. And also I want to remind you to sign the service register if you haven't already done so. And also want to try not to confuse you, but let you know of our schedule for the month of December. Next Sunday is the first Sunday in December. It's Communion Sunday, and we'll have our normal services just like we always do. However, the next three Sundays, that'll be, I believe, the 12th, the 19th, and the 26th, we'll have combined services. That means on those Sundays, Sunday school will start at 9, and then church will be at 10:30. One combined service on each of those days. The second Sunday in December, which is the 12th, after the congregational, combined service, will be our annual congregational meeting. So I wanted to let all the members know so that they can make plans for that. It's not next week, but it's in 2 weeks from today. And those are the things to let you know about it. I just want to share, as we think about Thanksgiving, and as we're walking across that bridge, that Advent bridge from Thanksgiving to Christmas, just how much I appreciate all you guys that have participated in some pretty significant events. I prayed about it, but just to let you know, those of you that helped with some dinners at our church, and those of you who I've talked to people who've been in the hospital and how much they appreciate how you've reached out, and then also for the Thanksgiving meal, how much the people that were there reached out. And I don't know if you know it or not, but each year there's more people from the community that just show up and want to help. And that's wonderful, even though it makes it more confusing because they're, you know, we have it all organized and everything. One of the fellas that showed up, I got to talk to him. His name was Steve, and he just said, I've come here because someone told me it was good to be able to give back, you know. And he came, and he didn't really have that much to do. And then so I said, you know, Tammy and Lisa were handling the delivery, and I said, well, let him deliver for me because I want him to, you know, to be able to experience what it means to give back. And so he did that, and then we came back, and he just went on and on about how neat it was and how good he felt. Well, then we had a few dinners left over, and I called one of the people who were supposed to come pick up their dinner, and the guy's in Carbondale getting out of bed, you know. And so I said, well, can you come pick up your meal? He said, well, let me put my pants on, and I'll be down there. I said, thank you for that information. And but anyway, Steve said, don't worry about it, I'll take it. So Steve took all his meals and went all the way up to the Hucks in Carbondale and met him there and delivered his meals. And so what a neat thing as we just kind of create that environment of ministry. When the opportunity arises, God will bless us, and he'll bless other people through us. And I thought that was a wonderful thing. So we're thankful, and I'm personally thankful to you guys for that. And that's kind of what I want to talk about a little bit today. As I was growing up, I mean, from when I was first able to write, whenever I received a gift, my mother would say, have you written your thank you note? And if someone, what she'd say was, if someone thought enough to give you a gift, then in return, you should put a little thought into it in terms of a thank you. And now, fortunately, I have a mother figure that I'm married to, and she encourages everyone in our family to do that. So if I could encourage you just a little bit during this season of Thanksgiving and season of Christmas, I want to encourage you with this. Have you written your thank you notes yet? I'm talking about a thank you note that says, Dear God, thank you. And the reason that I'm asking you this is not to tell you something that you don't know, but it's something you already know, and that's that genuine Thanksgiving isn't an event, and it's not a season. It's not something we do only on a special occasion, but for the Christian, for a child of God, Thanksgiving is central to the lifestyle of faith. With that in mind, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you for all of your many blessings. We thank you for the advantage, just personally, of being thankful. And that's not always easy when life throws curves at us and hits us in different ways. Father, I pray that we would continue to be those who walk by faith, and as a result, we are thankful people. Lord, speak to us this morning in your Son's name. Amen. You know, it's all over the Bible. There's over 550 references to thanks and thanksgiving and thankfulness. And, you know, the heavenly host in heaven Their job is to worship the Lord and give thanks to Him. That's their job. And then the way back in the early days of Israel, when in Exodus and Leviticus, when God was setting up the whole sacrificial system, integral to that was a thank offering. Jesus gave thanks. Major figures in the Bible, I don't have to tell you, gave thanks, like David and Daniel and Jonah and Simeon and Anna and Paul, just a few. So we think about Thanksgiving. Let's look at just a couple of verses that speak towards it, and a couple of verses that I want to highlight. You can just listen or you can turn to it, are found in Colossians chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. Here's what this verse says when we're thinking about thankfulness. It says, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." Friday, I came up to the church and I was looking around for some things, and I went down to the fellowship hall, and there was a couple of pools of water. And so, you know, I said, "Well, what do I do?" So I went down to the janitor's closet and I came back and I got the mop and I got the bucket and I started mopping, and when eventually the mop got full. And so whenever the mop is full, you put it in that strainer, and I pushed and I pressed and I got all the water just to drip out, you know, straining to get all that water to drip out of that strainer, just drip out of that mop. And I thought about that because of the day before when it was raining really, really hard and that water was gushing down the street. And I sort of compared the two. And what happens is a lot of times, you know, we go through our life and things kind of get on our nerves and we're not always thankful. And we sort of have to strain to be thankful. But the picture is not like the mop being strained in that bucket to try to squeeze that water out. That's not a picture of thankfulness. But the picture that's given in this verse is that water overflowing as it rushes down the street. Thankfulness should be gushing to overflow. And then later in Colossians, in chapter 3, verse 15, he says, "In whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Whatever we do should be coded in thankfulness. You know, it's like we're like human M&Ms, where we have that chocolatey center, and then we have that candy outer shell that's really nice and different colors, and yellow and brown and red and blue and green, and I don't really remember all the other colors. But that's sort of the idea. Everything we do and everything we say should be coded like that M&M, coded in thankfulness. The Psalms are filled with references to being thankful. Thanksgiving for God's great love. Thanksgiving for His victory. Thanking God for everything. Psalm 100 tells us to come and worship with hearts of thanksgiving. Give thanks to Him. Praise His name. And that's not always in good times either. I think we get the idea here that thanksgiving is so crucial to the life of a child of God that God actually commands us to give thanks, to live our lives with the pattern of thanksgiving in every situation and every blessing that He gives us. So how do we do that? Well, I think we can look at Ephesians chapter 5 for some instruction there. Ephesians chapter 5, it's verse 20. And that part of Ephesians, if you ever want to say, well, how do I live the Christian life? You know, there's a lot of places in the Bible you can go. One of the places is Ephesians 4 through 6, because it talks about our conduct in the church, our conduct as husband and wives, our conduct in the family, and our conduct towards the Lord. So it kind of tells us how we should live, and it starts off in verse 15 talking about, says, be careful how you live. Live wisely. Make the most of every opportunity. Don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Be controlled by the spirits of God. Speak to one another in a certain way. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. And then verse 20, it's summed up by saying this: always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always giving thanks. So when do we, as a child of God, as the people of God, when do we give thanks? We give thanks always. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's God's will to give thanks in all circumstances. If we're doing something where we can't really give thanks, then we have to ask ourselves, is this the will of God for my life? thankfulness, what it does is it helps us enjoy the good times. I am so thankful, Lord, for this wonderful blessing. But it also helps us endure and have peace in the difficult times. Now think about the Apostle Paul. And towards the end of the book of Philippians, he says, I have learned to be content in all things. At the beginning of the book of Philippians and a lot of the other books that he wrote, he starts off by thanking God for the wonderful blessing of the church in Philippi. I think one of the reasons that Paul had learned the secret of being content is because he had learned and developed the habit, the lifestyle of thankfulness. I was talking with someone just before they were to have major surgery, and it was a big surgery. And as I was talking with them, you don't know who's going to do most of the talking and everything, and you just try to be available. But this person did most of the talking, and one of the things that they said was that, you know, I stopped today, and I made a list of all the things that I'm thankful for, and you know what? The Lord has taken great care of me. The Lord has really blessed me. And I know that whatever happens, I'm going to be okay. I go to be with someone before major surgery, and that person blesses me. Why? Because they had a thankful heart, and as a result, they were at peace. And sometimes that's easy. Thankfulness is easy. There's blessings all around, but sometimes being thankful is a choice. Being thankful is done by an act of the will. We should practice giving thanks always when we're happy, when we're sad, when it's tough. And that's hard sometimes. What do we do when we find it hard to give thanks about someone or something? I mean, if you think about it, it's difficult. We feel hypocritical. Give thanks for that? Well, I sure don't feel thankful for this. I don't feel thankful for that person. So where do we start if we're having a difficult time giving thanks? Because we know the Bible says, always give thanks, but Lord, that's a challenge. That's not always easy. Where do I start? Always give thanks to God the Father. That's our starting place. That's our foundation for giving thanks. Why does he say give thanks to God the Father? It's because our loving Father is the source and he is the summation of all of our blessings. James chapter 1 says every good and perfect gift comes from him. And a wise believer sees everything as coming from his loving hand, whether it's prosperity and blessing, whether it's trials or hardship. And if we're blessed, it comes from God. To God be the glory. If someone else is blessed, it comes from God. To God be the glory. You know, I don't always think that way. I'm embarrassed to say this, but Marilyn and I were up in St. Louis a couple of weeks ago visiting with some friends who are missionaries. Missionaries in Africa, and they come back to the States every 4 years. Well, this time they had been saving up money for a couple of decades and decided that they would buy a house. So they wanted to show us the house that they had bought, and, you know, they're missionaries. So a lot of times we think, I'm just so glad they're able to afford a place of their own after all these years. Well, they take us to a really nice subdivision in West County, St. Louis. And I'm going, man. And then they said, we want to show you the inside. Completely furnished, like by an interior decorator. And so they told us the story that they had saved up the money that they had for several decades. They had decided to buy the house. And when they did that, their friends in St. Louis, who are members of churches that were some of their supporters, decided, we're going to help you out. We're going to take it upon ourselves to shop around with garage sales and shop around with new things and get donations. And we are going to furnish your house for you. Not only that, they're actually, one of the people was actually an interior decorator. So this is a show place. And I'm walking through that house going, you know, God, I'm a pastor, and that's kind of like a missionary, and if you drop a little furniture on me, that'd be okay, you know. And then I thought, no, man, that's not the right attitude. If God blesses someone else, to God be the glory for his wonderful benefits. That is evidence of God working. To God be the glory. So we give thanks to God the Father every time we see a blessing. But giving thanks to God the Father always means more than giving thanks for blessings. It means something much more. Giving thanks to the Father means something much deeper. It means giving thanks fundamentally for him, for who he is, for his love for us. You know, we looked at Psalm 100, and Psalm 100 talks about that. What is it about the Lord that we can always be thankful for? Psalm 100, or you can look in your bulletins. Give thanks to him. We sung about it. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. That's one reason. Because his love endures forever, and because his faithfulness continues throughout all generations. Sometimes that's challenged. Sometimes we don't see all those things, and yet they're there because of who God is. What is the goodness of the Lord? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. The goodness of the Lord. When I lived in Atlanta, I was working at a high school, trying to get to know some high school students, trying to share the gospel with them. And so I'd go up there on Saturdays, and they'd have pickup football games. So I'd try to get in these football games, and they're playing tackle and everything, but it's all arm tackling. I mean, we're all just a bunch of wimps, you know. I mean, it's slow down. I want to grab your shirt, you know, that kind of thing. See if I can swing you around and pull you down. So we divided up the teams, and we're just getting ready to start playing. And this guy comes walking across the track onto the football field. He had green Army fatigues on, a T-shirt, and Army boots, and he's about 6 feet tall, and he was cut like Arnold Schwarzenegger was back in the day, tan and everything. And he's walking up to the field, and he pulls a mouthpiece out of his pocket and says, "Can I play?" I knew instantly that whatever side he was on would win the game, and that was true. And there's two reasons for that. One reason was that whenever he had the ball, nobody, including myself, wanted to tackle him. And the second reason is you didn't want to get the ball because you're afraid he might tackle you. And needless to say, he got on the other team. And needless to say, because he was on their side, we didn't have a chance. And the other side won. Well, when we say the Lord is good, that's like saying the Lord is on your side. It's like saying the Lord is on our team. It's not really a fair game anymore. And so we sing, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." No matter where we are in that game, he is on our side. So we give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And then it says, his love endures forever. Some translations say his loving kindness. Some say his steadfast love. Some say his mercy. So what does this look like? What does this mean? This is like embarrassing Sunday, but anyway, here we go. In high school, I had a friend. His family car was a station wagon. It had a 440 cubic inch engine and dual exhaust and 150 on the speedometer. Their family station wagon. So one night, he was driving, and then I had another friend, and he had a police light, and it stuck on top of the car. And he could make his voice sound just like a police siren. You know, and then there was me, and there's probably a couple of other people there. And, you know, the fellow that's driving is now actually one of the leading baby doctors in the country. And the fellow who's had the police, he's probably, you know, with his children and grandchildren hiding behind some bush even as we speak now. That's the kind of person he was. But anyway, we go hide behind a bush, and then here comes a truck. And sure enough, the light goes on. His voice goes up, and we go behind. We start chasing that truck like we're the police. Well, they slow down, and they pull over, and we pass them, and we're laughing and everything, and we saw the whites of their eyes, and then they saw the whites of their eyes, and it was just innocent fun. It was just a great joke until they started chasing us. And we had never been in that position before. We were the chaser the few times we did this, not the chasee. So we knew that we could lose them in that family station wagon. So we're driving down the road. Couldn't go very fast because all the curves and everything, but they were catching up. And so finally we go way out on the outskirts of town to where there's a subdivision, and we're going through the subdivision, and we went to a new part of the subdivision. And then my friend made a right turn, and we're going down a road where there were no houses. And after going a couple of hundred yards, there was a thin layer of mud that got thicker and thicker and thicker. We hit that mud, and we spun out of control until we went off the road into a quagmire of mud, and we were stuck. And so these guys pull up in their truck, and we thought, you know, oh, here it comes, here it comes. And they just got out laughing. It was so funny. They were laughing and everything, and one of our members says, "We was going to give you a spanking, but it looks like you got what you deserved." And so my friend who was driving the car, he gets up and he has to smooth talk him. So he's squashing through the mud and saying, "Man, we're stuck. Can you help us?" So one thing led to another, and we got in the back of their truck, which I can't believe we really did this, because then they really had us. They ended up taking us to my uncle's house, where we were at midnight, where we were able to call a wrecker, and eventually we were able to get out of that. You know, we were for the time, we were enemies to these fellas. And actually, when we were in that mud, stuck, they had us dead to rights. But they showed us mercy, and they took us to get a wrecker that pulled us out of this sticky red clay. Psalm 40, verse 2 says, "He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire, and He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand." The Lord's goodness and the Lord's love that endures forever says He will do that not once, but time and time again if need be. And it doesn't matter in our lives how stuck we are, how out of control we might have gotten. I mean, sometimes we make choices that we now regret, but you can be thankful to God for this fact, that He stands ready with compassion and forgiveness, not with guilt or condemnation, and that He is unmovable in His steadfast love for you. And with all the strength of the most powerful force in the universe, He helps us through those difficult situations, whatever they are that we get ourselves in, so we can give thanks to the Lord for His enduring love and mercy. And then finally, His faithfulness continues through all generations. If you remember in Daniel chapter 6, the administrators there that were under the king were all jealous of him, and they were trying to get him in trouble. So they went to King Darius and they said, "King Darius, issue a decree." Because they knew Daniel prayed to the Lord. So they said, "Issue a decree saying that you have to worship the king. You can't worship anybody else but the king. And the penalty, if they didn't, would be death, would be the lion's den." Well, in Daniel chapter 6, it says, "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before." Put his life at great risk. But Daniel nonetheless prayed and thanked God, just as he had done before, just as those before him who were faithful had done, and those before them, because God deserves thanks regardless of the circumstances. And He deserves thanks not just because He's faithful to His people, but He is faithful to always be exactly who He is. And because He is faithful to be who He is, then we can know that He is faithful to all of His promises. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. So the foundation of our thankfulness rests in God Himself. In other words, we don't just count our blessings, but we count on the One who does the blessings. And finally it says, we give thanks to God our Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does this mean? It means that we live to honor Jesus Christ. And if we're a believer, no matter how bad our life may seem, Jesus has saved us from much worse, and Jesus will bring you home. And so when we pray and give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus and live in the name of our Lord Jesus, it's realizing that the best things, in fact, every good thing that ever happens to a believer is a result of the grace that is secured for us through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And another thing it means when we give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus is that Jesus came to be a blessing. And every time God blesses you, it's a reminder for us to be a blessing to others. Practice a lifestyle of thanksgiving. It'll help you deal with the feelings of bitterness. Practice a lifestyle of thanksgiving because it helps us combat discouragement, because it helps us focus on the big picture. And when God is in control, we know that we always have a sense of hope. Thanksgiving demonstrates that hope. Practice thanksgiving because it keeps us from being big-headed. Thanksgiving gives credit to where credit is due. That's why Jesus always gave thanks to God the Father. So are you writing thank you letters to God by your life? I know many of you are, and let me encourage you, if you're not, to do so. And if you are, to keep on letting your life be that thank you letter to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the things that we have to be thankful for. We thank you for all the wonderful blessings that you have granted us. Father, we even thank you for the blessings that come through difficult times. And sometimes we can only do that by faith. Lord, it's so easy for us to look at the glass that's half empty. But Father, because of who you are, if we could be so assured that the glass is never half empty, but it's half full and it's getting even fuller. And one day it'll be completely full when your Son comes back. Father, help us to be those, continue to be those who write those letters of thank you to you, that they might be on our heart all the time. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.